I was worried that you were going to throw it. It is lovely to be with you tonight, and it's been lovely to be here over the weekend. I haven't been to Lincolnshire since the days when I used to go on holiday as a bairn to Skegness, to the Butlins holiday camp, Skeggy. So it's just lovely to be here. And I have been deeply impressed by the people I have met and the work of God that you are joining in with in this district. It's just fantastic to see. And prove that not everything that is perfect is in the north, as in Newcastle, the proper north. There are some good things south. My mother will be most relieved. I just want to share a word of testimony. I was born and brought up in Spennymoor, County Durham, so you need to know I'm not a proper Geordie. I need to confess that now, although I live and work in Newcastle now. I was brought up in a Christian family to go to church 7 times a week. That was fine until I was a teenager, when it just wasn't fine, and I did anything to get out of going. My mum and dad were very devout people, but life was a struggle for us. We really didn't have a lot of money. We would run out of money on a Wednesday when Dad was due to be paid on a Thursday, which meant, and I know this is hard to believe, but it meant there was literally nothing in the house. And Mam would fry up a pan of chips, which I incidentally love, but there was no choice. My dad earned hardly anything, and he suffered from quite severe epilepsy, which limited the jobs that he could do. My brother and sister were also born with epilepsy and learning difficulties, and my sister subsequently was diagnosed with schizophrenia. Life was a challenge. The church that we went to was very good at praying, but it wasn't a church that did a lot practically. So we would be told frequently that they were praying for us. But you know, sometimes prayer is not enough. Sometimes people need love in action. And my story of coming to faith is of finding the practical love of God in the Methodist Church, who did pray, but also brought round a casserole for us to eat. Because my mother was taken away from the family home when I was 10. And I remember very vividly, my brother and my sister sat on either side of me at the bottom of the stairs. The social worker was in the front room with my dad. My dad was a very northeast man in terms of, well, he didn't know how many sugars he took in his tea. That's how well he was kept. He couldn't cook, he couldn't do anything. He was lovely, but he just couldn't do anything. The social worker was very, very precise with him. She said, well, Mr. Anderson, either you look after these children or we'll take them away. I sat with my brother and sister on the bottom of the stair of our staircase. I called them both in and I said, we're not going anywhere. I will look after us. I was 10. I only managed to look after our family and keep us from being taken into care by the love of the Methodist Church family, who brought round food and who cared for us. See, the church family had decided that because my father had epilepsy, that somehow that was linked to demon possession. A terrible, terrible thing to say. So my father, who was very devout, he felt terrible. Such a guilty conscience. And he was racked with guilt when Mum was taken into hospital. My story is very much of a faith in a God who would not let me go. You know that hymn that says, oh, love that will not let me go? That was my experience of a God who held on to me no matter how much I struggled, no matter what challenged us, the love of God that kept me. And I would not be here today if it wasn't for the fact that that was expressed through the love of the Methodist people who loved us as a family and gently cared for us. Our family life has continued to be a challenge. I was telling the folks this afternoon, I've nearly died 4 times, and I'm still here. As a little girl of 2, I was chucked up in the air by a car. As a girl of 7, I fell in between the train and the platform, and I was behind because I was the littlest one, and I was following my brother and sister. My father just happened to turn round, saw I wasn't there, looked out of the window, saw I wasn't on the platform, and pulled the emergency cord, which saved my life as they pulled me out. I've also nearly died twice, sadly. I had toxic shock after having our son, Simon, and after losing twins, I did die. That experience has left me deeply challenged with, well, God, what are you doing to keep me here? I feel it has only been because I still have the privilege of joining in with what God is doing in the world. And I do that with passion and enthusiasm, and I hope with the love that has been shown to me throughout my life. I now work, have the privilege of working with many people at Brunswick Methodist Church in Newcastle upon Tyne, a busy city centre church where the focus of my work is with prostitutes, the homeless, runaway kids, asylum seekers. We do street pastors and healing on the streets. Healing on the streets, do you do that in Lincolnshire? Fab thing to do. The first time I encountered it, I have to say I was a bit sceptical. I was an intensive care sister before I became a deacon, so I was a bit bothered about, you know, the idea of healing where it's all about growing legs, even if there's nothing wrong with your legs. I know people who want to grow your legs even though they're all right. And I get worried about some people's obsession with leg lengthening. And I was a bit bothered by all of the conversation that seemed to be about growing legs. And I thought, Lord, what is this all about? And I participated in the training that was about, you know, just talking about healing. And I thought, I'm not sure about this, God. What is this all about? You know, I'm a Methodist minister. I'm meant to have a bit of a grasp of theology. What's all this about? But I kept with it. And I went out onto the streets of the city for the first time because they said, right, let's just go and do it. So they put 8 plastic chairs out in front of Gray's Monument in the middle of Newcastle upon Tyne at 2 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon. And the first thing we were asked to do was all kneel on the pavement of the city in front of the monument where everybody rants and rages. So we've got the BNP. We've got animal rights people. We've got people who are ranting and raving about all kinds of things. And the only Christian voice, I'm afraid, is the turn or burn hellfire preachers. And I'm not sure about them these days. I don't think ranting and raving at people really gets people to know about the love of God. So anyhow, there we were. And all they said, right, everybody, kneel on the pavement. And as I knelt on the pavement of the city, I'd have to tell you it was a complete God moment. I felt like God was saying to me, you know what, girl, it's took me years to get you kneeling. Kneeling down on the streets of the city that I love. And I want you to love people like I love them. And I want you out here. We got up, turned round, and we gave our invitations to prayer. Within minutes, the chairs were full. Can you imagine that? Plastic chairs in the middle of the city, the general public wanting to be prayed for. We have prayed for thousands of people over the last 2 years. And on Good Friday, when we have an open-air service, after we turned round and I'd given the blessing, all the chairs were full and there was a queue. And people say people are not interested in God and faith. It's just not true. They're not interested sometimes in how we package it. They're not able sometimes to access what we do in here anymore. But they want to know about the love of God. They want to be changed and touched by God. Don't let anyone tell you any different. I got up from praying and I just thought, this is what I'm meant to do. Show the love of God on the streets of this city. There have been many times since when I have been deeply challenged by the people that I work with. It's fascinating, isn't it? Because it's interesting. We started, didn't we, by welcoming the Holy Spirit here. Do you know what? I think he was already here, or she. And I think what we did was acknowledge the presence of God here. Because God's here, and God's out there. And God needs us to pay more attention to where God is at work. And we need to learn to acknowledge God more and see God in the lives of the people around us, in the vulnerable and the needy. One of the privileges of working with women caught up in prostitution is that I see God in them. They want to pray. They want to light candles. And they know and express their need of God with a raw honesty. When you work with people who are very honest, you have to be prepared to take the rough with the smooth. So when they think I've eaten too much chocolate, they're keen on telling me. And I'll walk into the room and say, Eunice, you're looking a bit fat today. Or Eunice, your hair looks dreadful today. That's part of their honesty. They're also honest about their lives and about their desperate need for things to be different. As you came in, I hope you were given a little card. If you haven't, wave, and I'm sure there's hundreds of them. I'm sure the stewards will give you them. This is one of four cards that I have, and Alison also has a card. We do give loyalty points if you get them all. We'll give you a bar of chocolate. We'll stamp a card for you. This is a card done by Mary, who's these cards are all from Mary Fleeson, a friend of mine on Holy Island, that beautiful place described as a thin place where heaven touches earth. And this card has many roads on it. There's motorways and streets and country lanes, and they've all got footsteps on. They're tiny, so you've got to get close to look. But the card says those words that are very familiar. All of the roads lead out. Because worship, you know, isn't about event. It isn't about coming here and you somehow tick a box and you've done your Christian thing this week. You've been good. God's given you a tick on the register. It's not about that. Worship is about the whole of our lives. You come here to join the people of God, but you go out to carry on worshiping. This card says that simple blessing, send us out. How fascinating that the God who sends is also the one who goes with us. In the power of your spirit. See, it's not about us. It's not about us going out there and doing good things. It's about us joining in with what God is already doing. To live and work to God's praise and for God's glory. It's been wonderful to meet you here. And my prayer for you is this. That you get out of these walls. Come in here now and again. But remember that part of what we're doing is to go out where we live, where we work, all of that stuff. Also, they need us to demonstrate the love of God to them. We don't take it with us. God's already there. And we join in with what God is doing. God bless you. Amen.